obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money, I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon, but you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet. How you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping of how it will be if you keep on ignoring my words. Well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sunday and Wednesday nights. Cause if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. La la la. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly to give back to you according to what you have done. According to what you have done. According to what you have done.
Y'all know who that was?
Keith Green.
Keith Green. That's Philip Meadows. Philip Meadows. Beautiful. Sound a little like Keith Green. Sound a little better than Keith Green. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, which is the inspiration for this song. I want you on fire. Not I want prayers cold as ice. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We will have baptism after church again. If your child is third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth grade, you'll pick your children up out at the baptistry. So they'll have them out there for us so they can see the baptism. 1 Samuel chapter 15. One day, Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. And man shudders. Does he have the right to require or to command that Saul would take the troops of Israel and would completely destroy a nation?" Well, the answer to that is yes. God has the right. Now, the Amalekites were terrorists. The Amalekites were out in the wilderness, closer to the Egyptian side of things. And when the Israelites were walking through the desert, the Amalekites came from behind, and all the elderly, all the children, and all the sick, they attacked. Much like wolves do. They attacked the weak first. And so God chose that they need to be judged. There need to be a day of reckoning. And that day has come with King Saul. And we'll discover in this passage that you better not call Saul. Saul's not a good guy to call. So Saul mobilized his army at Telaim. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and lay in wait in the valley. Saul sent this warning to the Kenites. Now, the Kenites were friendly to the Israelites as they went through the desert. The Kenites, as predicted in Numbers, they are given safe passage. They are giving security. He says to them, "Move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites packed up and left. It says in 7, "Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah and all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality." And so there you have it. Better not call Saul. Saul practiced partial obedience. It is one of mankind's major problems. It was then, it is today. Partial obedience. Saul determined that he was going to allow the command of the Lord to be fulfilled through him. However, he would alter it. He would maneuver. He would place it in a place where he would not only, that God would hopefully benefit or be pleased with their actions, but also they too could be honored. They too could be rewarded. They too could experience some of the benefits of the spoils. So, they got the king. All the other Amalekites are killed. They got the best of the animals. They got the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything that appealed to them. Because so you can imagine, instead of obeying completely God's command, there was partial obedience. No, don't kill that one. That's a good one. Don't kill that one. That's a good one. Oh, you got King Agag. We got him cornered. Don't kill him. We'll keep him as a prize. And they did not obey completely the command of the Lord. Partial obedience. Think about that today. I obey God for most of the things, but some things I'm not going to. I know I'm supposed to forgive. I'm not going to forgive that guy. I'm not going to forgive that girl. Partial obedience. Partial obedience. I know I'm responsible to be a good steward with what God's provided me, but look, my 3% is worth more than some people's 10%. And so it doesn't make much sense to me to say that I'm going to give 10% of what I make, because 10% of what I make is really a lot of money. And so I'm going to just give 3%, and I believe the Lord's going to be okay with that. We're thinking it's the amount and not the obedience that matters to God. Partial obedience. I mean, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to be moral. I'm going to manage the right sins. I'm going to manage the sins that turn people's nose or turn people's nails, you know, just squeeze them a little bit. The sins that are obviously people are against, I'm going to manage those sins. But I'm just, let's face it, there are some sins that I just enjoy too much.
And I'm just going to keep them under wraps. I'm just going to manage them. Partial obedience. You know, I'm just not going to live according to faith. I'm going to figure things out. I'm just not going to listen to what the Lord has to say. I mean, you know, God gave us a mind. We should use it. And that's taken to the extreme. And so people spend their time, instead of hearing the Lord and believing what He said and doing what He said, they figure things out because, after all, they've just got such a better idea than God. Partial obedience. We could talk about a lot of things, and already I'm pretty sure that in your mind it is spinning about your own partial obedience, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Partially committed, partially obedient, not getting too carried away with the things of the Lord. This week I received a text message from one of our former members that have moved away, and she's very concerned with one of her good friends about her unbelief or disbelief or lack of desire for the things of the Lord, and she's concerned about her eternity. And she showed me a series of text messages back and forth, so maybe perhaps I could help give her some words to say. And basically, this is it. I appreciate your kindness to me. I appreciate your concern for my eternal life, but I hope we are still friends, and I want to be friends with you. I enjoy spending time with you, but you've got to understand, I believe in eternity. I believe in heaven. I believe in God. I just believe God is okay with the way that I want to live. We go to church when it's in a special event. We'll go to church when it's important on special days. But, you know, we have a life to live, and I think God is okay with us being happy and living the kind of life that we want to live. She said, I just want my kids to grow up and be nice to other people and have good manners and have wonderful experiences. But I'm just not going to say that Jesus is the only way of eternity like you say to me. I hope we can still be friends. And then she went on to show other things that she had believed in. She believes in this one day. She believes in that the other day. She believes in many of the spirit works and spiritual things. She said over and over in her correspondence, I just want you to know, I am a spiritual person, just not the same kind of spiritual that you are. That's the way it is today. And at different levels, at different degrees, that's partial obedience. The Jewish people say they have 675 some odd laws to keep. The Jewish people say that guy keeps 125 of them. He's a secular Jew. That guy keeps 300 of them. He doesn't cut his ringlets there. That guy, he keeps 600 of them. He won't wear thread of different kinds. That's the guy with the black suit, black pants, black hat on, big beard. I've decided which commands I'm going to keep. They need to be keeping all of them. Then they'll know how frustrating it is to keep all of them, and then they'll discover how wonderful Jesus is. And so partial obedience, picking and choosing what you are going to do for God, picking and choosing what commands you're going to keep, and then justifying the others. In verse 10, the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king. Now remember whose idea it was to have a king? It was the people's. God said, all right, I guess you need to learn the lesson the hard way. I'll give you a king. And there was Saul. Saul looked like a king. Saul had broad shoulders, big old strapping man. I mean, you would think that guy's a leader. Have you noticed that there, you know, most of the leaders are, and people are, they're not short, bald, and fat people? Have you noticed that? You know, you got to look good on TV. You got to get, you know, for the public, you got to look good. And so Saul was that guy that looked good, but they shouldn't have called Saul. They shouldn't have embraced that king, but God turned them over and says, all right, I'll give you one that will be in appearance like you. They wanted to have a king so that they would be in appearance like other countries. I'll give you a king. I'll give you a king that in appearance looks good. And so it says, then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him, Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. That's the king. What was he most concerned with? Not what had just taken place, not the situation, not the fact that he was only partially obedient to the Lord. He wasn't grieving his disobedience. He was not sorrowful for his sin. He wanted him a statue. He wanted him a monument. Saul was always more concerned with himself than what God wanted. Man, don't build a statue of me till I'm dead. Thought that'd be funny. I feel sorry for Gary Patterson. Having to walk by a statue every day, they ought not to have done that. If you're one of them TCU people that decided that, you ought not have done that to that man. Can you imagine how hard that is? Wait till the man died, then put it up. Build it, put it in a storage shed somewhere, and the day he dies, the next day, put it up. But Saul, he liked that. It says he went himself. He's going, he says, y'all put it up. I'm sure he determined where it was to be set, how tall it was to be, how it looked. The monument was going to honor him. And so that gives us the reason why, better not call Saul. Now, verse 13. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. I've done so good. Aren't you glad to see me? Samuel, I bet you're thrilled to death to see me because of what I've done. Man, I did a good job. I fulfilled the command of the Lord. Then Samuel says, then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle that I hear? And so all them sheep, all them cows, all those goats are there with him. The best of the best are with him. And then look at his response in verse 15. Saul's response. It is true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle, Saul admitted. But, now I figured this out, Samuel. I've come up with a good idea, Samuel. I've rationalized this, and I'm ready to spin this in a good way. That's old Saul. It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle, but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else. Don't get all bent out of shape, Samuel, about this. Come on, don't come down on me about this. We obey the Lord's command. Matter of fact, we've improved on it. We've improved on it so much that we brought the very best, including the king, of course, we'll hear in just a moment, for to worship the Lord your God. God's going to be pleased with me. I know God's pleased with me. I know that God understands my decisions. I know that God, He is okay with how I've chosen to live because I've chosen to live with peace with myself, and I'm gonna follow these commands and not these commands, and I'm gonna be at peace with myself, and God is gonna be okay with that. Now, I'm not doing everything God has asked me to do, but God, there won't be any reckoning for that. That's what Saul determined. It's a brilliant plan, he thought in his mind. After all, he says, look what I've done. He's rationalized his disobedience. Then Samuel said to Saul in verse 16, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you? Saul asked. And Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, there's the problem. Are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? Now, look what he responded with. But I did obey the Lord. No, God's already told you you didn't. No, I did obey the Lord. But you have to understand, Samuel says, the Lord told me that you have not obeyed the Lord. But I did obey the Lord. Saul insisted. I'm not wrong. You're wrong about this. I hadn't done anything wrong. I've improved on it. Remember, he's the monument builder to himself. Maybe a little narcissistic. Definitely full of pride. Definitely unbridled ego. Also, we'll discover a great fear of man. And so he's all over the place. I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plundered to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. What he's telling him is, you got to be kidding me. I'm not wrong here. I'm not wrong. I've obeyed God. I have pleased God. But God is saying, no. You have partially obeyed me. But if partial obedience in God's eye is disobedience. That's the word of the Lord. That's what's going on here. And look what 22 says. And we know this is a big deal because Jesus and others have, this is repeated over and over in the Bible. This is something we better off pay attention to. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? Well, I go to church. What's more important? What's more important, your sacrifices, the burnt offerings, or obeying His voice? But obedience is more important. God says to us, it is sin for us to believe that because we're moral, because we go to church, but in fact, that is not all there is, right? And we're partially obedient, we're not pleasing to the Lord. But I've done good things. Jesus says on that day, many will say to me, but Lord, Lord, I've cast out demons, I've honored, I've worshiped, I've preached, I've been part of this ministry. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why is that? Because they were partially obedient. They were religious. They were checking off the box. They were moral. They had chosen that they said, well, here's what I'm going to do to honor God. And God is going to be pleased with me. I'm going to not cuss. I'm going to go to church as often as I can. I'm going to give a little bit every now and then. When they pass the hat around at work for the cancer fund or the heart fund, I'll give a little bit of that. When the Girl Scouts come around, I'll buy some cookies from them. I'm going to be a good person. I'm not going to cause trouble. I'm not going to be issue-oriented. I'm going to be a good member of society. And the Lord comes along and says, I don't need your money. I want your life. And they just go, man, God, you can just have part of me. But there's part of my life you can't have. Partial obedience. It's a joke. It's a poor joke, but I've heard it told more than once. Is the old boy's fixing to get baptized, and he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out his billfold, and he says, baptize everything but my billfold. Baptize everything but my secret sin list. Baptize everything but what I got on the computer these days. Baptize everything but this or that and the other. Baptize everything but my IRS statement. I'm not completely obedient to Him. God's okay with my disobedience. It's partial obedience. Friends, if that's you, you need to heed this word. He wants complete obedience from us. What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of the lambs. Now, listen to what he says. Now, I believe this statement is in direct response to what the Lord knows about the heart of Saul. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Paul would say, I'm not wrong. I don't practice witchcraft. No. Rebellion is as bad as witchcraft. Stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. Wait a minute, God, I don't worship idols. I don't bow down to idols. I worship God only. But you're stubborn in your refusal to obey the complete command of the Lord. You pick and choose what you're going to be faithful to. You pick and choose the moments you're going to be obedient. You pick and choose what you're going to do. Instead of just obeying the Lord. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, He has rejected you as king. Then Saul admitted to Samuel. And I believe that this is probably the major reason why he was disobedient to the Lord. I think this is probably one of the major reasons why you and I are disobedient to the Lord, especially in the areas of worship, especially in the areas of witness, especially in the area of being image bearers of the Lord. Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I will obey your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and did what they commanded, they demanded. Yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. Fear of people. Fear of people. So why didn't you stand up for what was right at that meeting, at that gathering? At that lunch, at that dinner, why didn't you speak up to the truth of God's word? I didn't want to offend anyone. I didn't want to be rejected. I didn't want to be scorned. I want to be friends with them. Picking and choosing when we're going to be obedient to the Lord. Why didn't you give a witness to that guy when those spiritual matters were brought up? Didn't want to be laughed at. Just didn't want to be laughed at. I want to be accepted. I want to be appreciated. I want to be loved. Fear of man. More concerned with what people think of you than what God thinks of you. That's Saul's problem. And it's unbelievable because he's the king. He's absolutely the king. He was made the king by God. He's the king. He was anointed king. You would think it'd be far easier for the king to obey the Lord's commands because he's the king. Yet, he was so concerned with the people. All Saul had to do was do what God commanded, and he was in good shape with God and the people. And since he didn't obey God, he was in bad place with God and the people. That's kind of the way it works, isn't it? Usually we're so concerned with what people think of us, and then at the end of the day, they don't respect us because they know we don't say what we really believe. We got to be careful with partial obedience. Partial obedience is a major problem. And we all have it. We all struggle with it. We all struggle with it. But now please forgive my sin, Saul says, and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. Saul, he begins to work this politically, doesn't he? He said, let's get back to square one here. Let's get back to the right standing. Let's get over this. Let's move on from this. No consequences for my disobedience is what Saul's after. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you. Since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul tried to hold him back and tore the hem of his robe. And Samuel told him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one who is better than you. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind. Then Saul pleaded again, I know I have sinned, but please, at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel, by coming back with me so I may worship the Lord your God. Now, partial repentance is what's going on here. We got partial obedience, and now we've got partial repentance. Saul's not over the sin of the fear of man here. Yes, I have sinned. I have sinned because I listened to what the people demanded. Now, Samuel, don't leave me hanging here. Please make it so that the people will at least speak well of me. At least the people, the elders, the influential people, the good people, let's at least make it so that they're okay with me. He just couldn't dare living like people didn't like him. It was more important to him that the elders were pleased with his decisions than God was. Partial repentance. Not complete repentance. Not complete about face. Managed repentance. I really truly believe that that is definitely the heart of the Bible Belt believers today. We know what other people want. We know what other people expect. We want to please mom and dad. We want to please grandpa and grandma. We want to please leaders of the church. And so we are going to manage only those things which are pleasing to the people of the Lord and pleasing to the people of the world. Partial repentance. I'm going to repent in all the things the church people see, but I'm not going to repent of those things the people outside the church see. I want the people in the church to like me, and I want the people in the world to like me. And what is produced is an absolutely miserable person. Miserable, miserable, miserable. Wore out from trying to please everyone. When the planets do line up for all of us, when we just obey and seek to please God. Now, partial repentance. May the Spirit speak to you as me as well. You're willing to repent of some things, but not others. What's the Spirit saying to you today? Now, here's another lesson as we finish up here. Then Samuel said, bring King Agag to me. Agag arrived full of hope, for he thought, surely the worst is over and I've been spared. Can you imagine being the king and everyone is killed but you? I mean, I'm sure he's thinking, you know, every second of the hour, when's my time coming? Why'd they spare me? There's going to come a time when they're through with me and I'm done for. And so they call for him, and so he sees a little hope, and they're sure the worst is over. I've been spared. But Samuel said, as your sword has killed the sons of many mothers, now your mother will be childless. And Samuel cut Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Yep, the Bible says that. The command of the Lord was fulfilled. It wasn't fulfilled by Saul. It was fulfilled by Samuel. Boy, there's a lesson for us with that. God is going to fulfill His command whether you're part of it or not. And that's what you see here. Then Samuel went home to Ramah, and Saul returned to his house at Gibeah of Saul. Samuel never went to meet with Saul again. But he mourned constantly for him. Samuel's heart. And the Lord regretted, and the Lord was sorry He ever made Saul king of Israel. And that's what we have of Saul's legacy today. We have a choice in this world. We're either going to leave here with the legacy of being someone that obeyed the Lord, or a person that was just partially committed to God. Saul could have went out in a bang. He could be remembered as a David or Elijah or a Moses. But no, he partially obeyed the Lord. What about you and me today? What's the Spirit saying to you? Man, this is a tough thing here. But you know, I'd be neglecting my responsibility on the calling of the Lord not to say to you again, what's more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? Are you obedient to the voice of the Lord? Let's pray. Just pray we'll be heeding your Spirit today. Pray, Lord, that we will honor you with repentance that is complete and obedience that is complete as well. Help us not to be partial in any of our convictions. Help us to obey your voice, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forward.